세 바스데바야 바게베테 바스데바야 옴 나모 바게베테 바스데바야 타차 두다 바요 네돌 데바마 나바바디타 샤샤슈 시다보 라즈난 갓바투 푸슈파 리차하
Lights not off. You turn the lights on, you should turn them on. Then Prabhupada's life.
Thereafter, both men and demigods sounded drums in honor, and the honest royal order commenced demonstrations of honor and respects, and from the sky fell showers of flowers. Purport. Bhishma Dev was respected both by the human beings and by the demigods. The human beings live on earth and similar other planets in the Vur and Bhuvar groups of planets. But the demigods live in the Svar, or heavenly planets, and all of them knew that Bhishma Dev as a great warrior and devotee of the Lord. As a Mahajan in authority, he was on the level of Brahma, Narada, and Shiva, although he was a human being. Qualification on a par with the great demigods is possible only on attainment of spiritual perfection. Thus Bhishma Dev was known all over the universe, and during his time interplanetary travel was effected by finer methods than the futile endeavors of mechanical spacecraft. Within the distant planets, everyone was informed of the passing away of Bhishma Dev. All the inhabitants of the upper planets, as well as the earth, dropped showers of flowers to show due respect to the departed great personality. The showering of flowers from heaven is a sign of recognition by great demigods, and it should never be compared to the decoration of a dead body. The body of Bhishma Dev lost its material effects due to being surcharged with spiritual realization, and thus the body was spiritualized as when iron becomes red hot when in contact with fire. The body of the fully self-realized soul is not, therefore, accepted as material. Special ceremonies are observed for such spiritual bodies. The respect and recognition of Bhishma Dev are never to be imitated by artificial means, as it has become a fashion to observe so-called Jayanti ceremony for any and every common man. According to authorized Shastras, such a Jayanti ceremony for an ordinary man, however exalted he may be materially, is an offense to the Lord, because Jayanti is reserved for the day when the Lord appears on the earth. Bhishma Dev was unique in his activities, and his passing to the kingdom of God is also unique. Om Agyan Timanandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshin Meditam Jainatasmaya Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Jainabhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this evening we are observing the Disappearance Day Festival of our beloved Srila Prabhupada, who is the Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have chosen this particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam because it describes the passing away of Bhishma Deva, a great Mahajan devotee of the Lord. It is specifically mentioned that upon his departure, the demigods showered flowers from the heavenly planets. Thus it appears that the fame of a great devotee is known even on the heavenly planets. Actually, we refer to this in regards to our own spiritual master, our Param Guru Srila Prabhupada also. Every day when we sing the Guru Puja, We say, Ebayash Guksha Tribhuvana, that Srila Prabhupada, your glories are sung throughout the three worlds. Ebayash Guksha Tribhuvana. Tribhuvana means the three worlds. Actually, Srila Prabhupada is as significant a personality as the great Bhishma Deva. And how is that? Because actually his achievements, and we can say this as disciples, we have the liberty to say, that his achievements were actually greater than Bhishma Deva's. In fact, Prabhupada said one day, the historians will note how this Krishna conscious movement saved the entire world. A few months ago I was in London, and one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples, Gurudas, he was reminiscing about his times with Srila Prabhupada, and he quoted this actual statement. I'd been looking for it for many years. Prabhupada told him personally one time, that this Krishna conscious movement will save the world in its darkest hour. So someday, Srila Prabhupada will receive the proper credit and glorification that he is due as the actual savior of mankind. Because actually only Krishna consciousness can solve the problems of our present society. In fact, only the Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has given us can save the people from the terrible evils of this Kali Yuga. So one day historians will note how the Krishna conscious movement saved the world in its darkest hour, and thus the credit will go to Srila Prabhupada. So we can safely say, we can say with pride actually, that Srila Prabhupada's contributions to human society as a Vaishnava are the greatest ever. The simple reason that Srila Prabhupada has taken Krishna consciousness to every town and village of the world. This is a feat in the history of Vaishnavism that no other devotee has actually done. We were discussing the other day at Sankirtan Darshan that Srila Prabhupada's achievements were the culmination of the efforts of so many great Vaishnavas over the past 5,000 years. We were mentioning that Srila Vyasadeva states, he gives us the shloka, actually, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But this Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of this age's misdirected civilization. This is stated in the shloka. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of the Lord, it's actually meant to create a revolution, a spiritual revolution in the impious lives of this Kali Yuga's misdirected civilization. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Srila Vyasadeva for the benefit of the entire world. Actually, not only the entire world, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Srila Vyasadeva for all the people of Kali Yuga, specifically. Kali Yuga is a very evil, materialistic, atheist, godless age, which lasts for over 428,000 years. And in the very beginning, the Srimad Bhagavatam was given, this transcendental knowledge was given, to counteract the evil effects of this age. This is what Srila Vyasadeva concluded would actually save the people of this world, this transcendental knowledge. It was spoken 5,000 years ago with this particular purpose. But actually, we can easily understand that it was not made available to the entire world until the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. It was actually Srila Prabhupada who spearheaded the preaching of the Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. So we can only imagine how dear Srila Prabhupada is to the Lord, that he entrusted him with this mission. Actually, this is the Lord's mission, as we've discussed many times. And In the absence of the Lord, this mission was entrusted to Srila Prabhupada. Now, you only entrust something very confidential and something very important to one who you have full confidence in. So it appears that Lord Krishna has full confidence in Srila Prabhupada because he gave him this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Actually, in the Anchalila, 7th chapter, 11th verse, there's a verse which describes this, how the Lord empowers his devotee. It said, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Parvatana, that one cannot spread the holy name of Krishna without being specifically empowered by Lord Krishna. And in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna is always waiting to invest his full potency into the heart of his unalloyed devotee. Actually, it said his opulences, his full opulences into the heart of his unalloyed devotee. Therefore, sometimes we see that the devotee, he's also called Bhagavan. Generally, we reserve this exalted title of Bhagavan, or one who owns all opulences, for the Lord himself. But sometimes, the scriptures, they refer to exalted personalities also as Bhagavan. For example, there's Bhagavan Narada. Sometimes Shiva is also referred to as Bhagavan. How is that? They're not on the level of Bhagavan, and they would never claim to be on the level of Bhagavan. So how is it that the Shastra refers to them as Bhagavan? Because it is seen that they are invested with the power of attorney, so to speak. They are invested with the power of Bhagavan to act on his behalf. The Supreme Personality of Godhead empowers the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. This title is referred to such exalted souls as Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Thus we see that sometimes the pure devotees of the Lord on the level of Srila Prabhupada, they sometimes act on the level of Krishna, and sometimes by Krishna's grace, they do even greater than Krishna. It's been pointed out that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radhe Krishna Nahi Anga, who is none other than the combined form of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the Absolute Truth, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout Bharatvarsha, throughout India. But it was actually Srila Prabhupada who took Krishna consciousness beyond the shores of Bharatvasa to the entire world. There's an injunction in the Vedic Shastra that a holy man, a sadhu, he should not go beyond the boundaries of Bharatvarsa. And why is that? That's for his own protection. Because as you leave India, as you go to other countries, it becomes increasingly more and more materialistic, more and more demoniac. And the risk is there that such a personality, even though he's spiritually advanced, he may fall down. But of course, that was not the case with Srila Prabhupada. He broke this law of Vedic scripture. He could do that because he was empowered by the Lord. He could break that law of Shastra, that don't go beyond the boundaries of Bharatvasa because it's dangerous. He didn't go and take association. Srila Prabhupada went to the Western countries and he gave his association. And so powerful a personality he is, that his association touched the hearts of even the lowest amongst men. Because in this Kali Yuga, it's very hard to find a first-class man, a second-class man, a third-class man. Prabhupada said one time, they're all fools and rascals. And Nityananda Prabhu, when he was praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver Jagai and Madai, not destroy them with the Sudarshan Chakra, he said, my Lord, if you destroy them, then you'll have to destroy everyone in Kali Yuga because everyone is like Jagai and Madai. Everyone in this age, practically speaking, is to a greater or lesser degree a Jagai or a Madhai. Such is the nature of Kali Yuga. But Srila Prabhupada was such a transcendental personality that he could leave India, go to the Western countries, and touch the hearts even of the Jagai and Madhais, and make them dance in transcendental ecstasy. So Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pavartana. One cannot spread the holy name of Krishna without being specifically empowered by Lord Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that we can judge the potency of a Vaishnava, we can judge the purity of a Vaishnava, we can judge the greatness of a Vaishnava by how he acts as a touchstone. Just like a touchstone, traditionally a philosopher's stone, it touches, whatever it touches turns to gold. That's the magic. So the magic, the miracle of a pure devotee, is that whomever he comes in contact with, he touches them with Krishna consciousness. Now, Srila Prabhupada did that during his lifetime. He's doing that now, and he will do that for the duration of Kali Yuga. And generally, a person is known for the deeds that he does during his lifetime. After one's death, certainly one cannot act from the materialistic point of view. But a Vaishnava is not like that. For Bhaktivinoda Thakur has stated, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnava dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. So Srila Prabhupada is such a transcendental personality beyond the limitation of time that he can continue touching the hearts of so many conditioned souls, even now. So many of us have come to the Krishna conscious movement well after the departure of Srila Prabhupada. But each and every one who is a sincere servant in Prabhupada's ISKCON movement feels that through the Guru Parampara, through our spiritual master, we have a living relationship with Srila Prabhupada. We feel his mercy, we feel his kindness, we feel his direction, even today, even though we may not have met him when he was present, because he is so powerful a personality. Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Paratana. He has been empowered by Lord Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness not only between 1965 and 1977, no. Srila Prabhupada is the paramount preacher of this age. He will continue preaching throughout the duration of Kali Yuga, changing the lives of this age's misdirected civilization. So he began in a very humble way, actually. Actually, it's stated that generally in our Vaishnava tradition, we celebrate more this day, there are more observance on this day than there actually is on the appearance day. This is traditional in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Generally, the disappearance day is given more significance. So how is that? How is it that the disappearance day is often given more significance, it sees more festivity than the appearance day? But it's been explained that on the appearance of the devotee of the Lord, no one can yet appreciate his glories. But as he goes through his lifetime, spreading the glories of his Lord, his glories become known, so that by the time he departs, only a fool cannot appreciate what an exalted personality that pure devotee has been. So therefore, the appearance day is celebrated, because then we can appreciate. Of course, in our Krishna conscious movement, we observe with equal awe and reverence, with equal festivity, both the appearance and the disappearance. But traditionally in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, outside of our ISKCON movement, it is otherwise. Just like a flower, when a flower first comes on the tree or on the plant, it's only in its budding form. You can't actually appreciate it so much. Only when it matures and blossoms, then you can see, oh, this flower is so nice. So similarly, the pure devotee comes with a particular mission. That mission is hidden within his heart when he takes his appearance. Only some special souls could actually appreciate. Just like when Prabhupada appeared, they called in the astrologer, and the astrologer said, whoa. He said, this personality, he is a very special personality. At the age of 75, he shall travel to foreign lands, and he shall establish Dharma all over the world, and he will open more than 108 centers throughout the world. Now at that time, of course, perhaps some thought, well, this may be an exaggeration, or this is quite a lot to say. But actually, that astrologer, he was able to predict that. That was true, what he said. He made a prediction which came true. His glories are known throughout the entire world. So that is why we give significance to this day in particular. Now we know. Historians will note what Srila Prabhupada has done. But it began in a very humble way. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he was given the instruction to preach Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking language when he was a young man. In fact, we've been informed that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he instructed not only Srila Prabhupada, but many of his disciples, go to the English-speaking world and spread Krishna consciousness. But it was Krishna who wanted Srila Prabhupada to do that as his most confidential servant. So Srila Prabhupada, he left India after trying to establish Krishna consciousness in India unsuccessfully. The Lord had another plan. So Prabhupada's efforts to spread Krishna consciousness in India were not successful. We can take note of this, that sometimes also when we try to do something in Krishna consciousness, it's not successful, then we should accept, then that is Krishna's desire. Let me try again. Let me take direction. How I should continue efforts. So Srila Prabhupada left India and he came to the Western countries, and in a very humble way he began the Hare Krishna movement. He simply sat down in Tompkins Square Park with one pair of kartals, and he chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. How did the movement start from such a humble way? Well, the example has been given in that story of the cobbler and the Brahmin. Just like the full potency of the banyan tree, which is one of the biggest trees. The banyan tree is very big and very massive, but it all starts from a tiny, tiny little seed. A banyan tree is quite, the seed is quite small, but the potency is there. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he went to the Western countries and he had full faith in two things: the instructions of his spiritual master and the holy names. Srila Prabhupada knew that if he could simply, by the mercy of his spiritual master, go to the West and plant that tiny little seed in Tompkins Square Park, it would grow into a massive transcendental banyan tree that would spread all over the world. He had that faith. Someone may say, what is this? An old man sitting in an insignificant park on the Lower East Side of New York City with so many bums and hippies and beatniks and low-class people. What are you doing here? But no, Prabhupada had faith in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's desire to see Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. And he had faith in the holy name. It was a small seed. He was just sitting with one pair of kartals. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a little thing, but not so little, because he was planting that seed of the Hare Krishna mantra. And just like the banyan tree is contained within that small seed, so similarly, the whole success and the glories of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness were there in the first seed-like chanting of Srila Prabhupada in the Tomson Square Park. So people may be surprised. Others may say, well, what did you do? You went to America and you were successful simply because it was the right time and the people were ready. Anyone could have done that. So when Prabhupada was challenged like this, because when someone who is very expert at something does something, it looks quite easy, even to the neophyte. Like you see the professional athletes, when they do their sports, it looks easy as anything. They're running, they're jumping, and oh, anyone could do that. But there's years and years of training behind that apparent ease in their activity. So actually, Srila Prabhupada spent a lifetime in preparation before he went to the Western countries. His whole life was a preparation for that final stage of his life where he would go to the West and start the Krishna conscious movement. So it's not that easy. It may look easy because Srila Prabhupada's every activity was one of pure devotion. And because every one of his activities was that of pure devotion, it pleased Krishna. And just as the pure devotee wants to please Krishna, Krishna wants to reciprocate by pleasing his pure devotee. Whatever a devotee desires, because it's a pure desire, Krishna will honor that desire. And he will see that the desire becomes successful. That is the transcendental relationship between the Lord and his pure devotee. Just as the devotee wants to serve Krishna, so Krishna also wants to serve the desires of his pure devotee. And what is the innermost desire within the core of the heart of the pure devotee? He wants to see people become liberated from material existence by becoming Krishna conscious. So on the request of the pure devotee, Krishna delivers the fallen conditioned souls. Therefore, if you can meet a great devotee, a pure devotee like Śrīla Prabhupāda, and obtain his mercy, his favor, then we can be delivered from material existence. So Śrīla Prabhupāda wanted that, and therefore, it happened. It may appear that it was easy, but even Prabhupāda said, once he said, I thought when I would ask them to give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, they would say to me, Swami, this is America, please go home. He thought like that. He didn't imagine that when he came to the Western countries, people would actually take up Krishna consciousness so enthusiastically. He told the devotees, he said one time, I thought when I came here and I asked them to follow the four legged principles, they would tell me, Swami, this is America. You have to go home. No one will follow here. The Prabhupada said, Krishna sent me a few good men. It wasn't that easy. Actually, the first year of Śrīla Prabhupāda's stay in America, we have very little information, actually. Satsarupa Maharaj said that when he tried to understand, tried to discover, tried to find people to interview, tried to go places to find out what happened, that first 12 months in America, he couldn't find very much information. And Prabhupada, he said, struggling alone in the wilderness. Prabhupada actually used to go down sometimes to the docks where the boats were to check when the boats were going back to India, because it was so difficult. He said, I cannot tell you, he said one time, I cannot tell you how much I struggled that first year in America. But having full faith in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and having full faith in the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, he was able to do it. So actually, Śrīla Prabhupāda, his activities were predicted. It was hinted at by Śrīla Vyāsadeva that this revolution would go throughout the world. It would happen. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he actually predicted that one day a great personality will appear who will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then Prabhupada noted that it was significant that he took his birth in the year that Bhakti Vinod Thakur began his preaching mission in the Western countries. The year that Bhakti Vinod Thakur sent the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya to McGill University in the West. It was in that year that Śrīla Prabhupāda appeared. And Prabhupāda used to note that. He said, in other words, this was significant, that Prabhupāda appeared in the very year that Bhaktivinoda Thakur began his preaching, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted himself the appearance of Śrīla Prabhupāda. He said, one day a personality will appear who will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, just how Śrīla Prabhupāda did that is very interesting to note, because we have to understand the magnitude of Śrīla Prabhupāda's mission. Now, after it's all said and done, it seems very easy to us, because now we have temples, now we have deities, now we have books, now we have farms, now we have schools, now we have all these things are there, at least the beginning stages are there. But to try to imagine what Śrīla Prabhupāda's goal was, when Śrīla Prabhupāda came to the West, it was not an insignificant thing. He actually had in mind to transplant the Vedic culture, the pristine spiritual culture, into a very demoniac and materialistic society. That was probably, he was challenging the whole concept of Western civilization, of materialism, and the very precepts of Kali Yuga. One individual, one lone individual came alone to tackle the entire materialistic age of Kali Yuga. How brave you must be to do that. How courageous you must be to do that. How much faith in Krishna you must have to single-handedly tackle the Kali Yuga. How powerful a person you have to be. Now, how Srila Prabhupada did that, it's significant to note. You know, how he came, he simply began chanting Hare Krishna with the hippies in New York City and San Francisco, and as his disciples became more qualified, he gradually unveiled his greater plan. In the beginning, Brahmananda Swami, he was simply thinking that Prabhupada was going to stay at 22nd Avenue. He said in the Leelamrita, Prabhupada, we never imagined Prabhupada was going to leave New York. We thought he was the Swami for the Lower East Side, and he was never going to leave. And then when Prabhupada went to San Francisco, we were stunned that Swamiji has left and he wasn't coming back immediately. No one thought in those days that this was going to become an international society for Krishna consciousness. The devotees were simply thinking Swamiji had come to the Lower East Side, he was our guru, and with him we were going to stay here forever. No one could imagine. But gradually, Prabhupada began introducing more and more understanding of Krishna consciousness. In fact, at one time Prabhupada said, you know, if I told you all the rules and regulations that you have to follow, you will all faint unconscious. This is back in 1965, 66, Prabhupada was, you know, sometimes the devotees after a kirtan, they would go out and have a smoke break. And Prabhupada would patiently wait while they went out and smoked their cigarettes, or went to the local Dunkin' Donuts shop and had their coffee and their donuts, and then came back. He didn't say anything. And sometimes Prabhupada, when he was staying in before he had his own private apartment at 22nd Avenue, then he would have to wait in line in the shower. Devotees didn't know even that etiquette. Can you imagine? The boys would line up for the shower, and Prabhupada would come, he'd be number five in line, and they'd just go through, and they wouldn't even let their spiritual master. This is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. This is the tolerance that Srila Prabhupada had to exhibit there. If I told you all the rules and regulations, you would faint. But now we have all those rules and regulations, but Krishna consciousness is more mature. But in those days, gradually Prabhupada began to unveil what his plan was for an international society for Krishna consciousness. Gradually his books came, his temples came, his deities came, his farms came, his schools came, his preaching institutions such as the Bhaktivedanta Institute, they became the concept of Varnashram Dharma. The list goes on and on. It became apparent that this was a cultural movement. This wasn't some yoga society like Dr. Mishra had in uptown Manhattan. No. Devotees began to realize that this was a cultural revolution. In fact, one time Prabhupada said, we will take over this world with Krishna conscious culture. This is a culture. Culture complete in all aspects of life. So this is the contribution that Srila Prabhupada made. Actually, we've discussed before that a person is generally considered to be great when he makes a contribution in one aspect of culture. For example, if someone contributes in the field of music, or someone, you know, contributes in the field of literature, or the realm of politics or whatever, then he's considered to be a great personality. But you just consider Srila Prabhupada, how he made a significant, paramount contribution in every aspect of culture. In music, he gave us the best music. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You can say that Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, they gave so many songs, but those songs are all worthless, because they're all within the realm of material sound vibration. And the Vedas say that it is by sound vibration one becomes conditioned, and Om Anavrita Shabda, it is by sound vibration that one becomes liberated. So all this together, all the sounds of material existence, from rock and roll and reggae to rap, to, you know, classical music and whatever it is, the whole gamut of that music, it's all within the realm of the modes of material nature, and it conditions one. But Srila Prabhupada gave us the essence of all transcendental sound. the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, thereby giving the most significant contribution to the culture of music ever known within human society. But to speak of his literary contribution, we know, we discussed many times that people read so many different nonsense books, just like a crow is attracted to a garbage heap. People are attracted to this nonsense literature. But Srila Prabhupada gave the most important literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave us the best food, prasadam. He gave us the best system of education, gurukul. He gave us the best politics. Prabhupada said, politics means to be polite. Vidya, vinaya, sampane, bhavani, gavi, hastane, sunichaiva, sapakicha, pandita, samadarshanaha. To see the true equality of all living entities and to serve the real interest, which is what? To go back home, back to Godhead. So the leader of society, and Prabhupada said it doesn't have to be a Raja Rishi, it can be democracy, it can be communism, whatever it is, but the leader should ensure that the people that they are leading are becoming Krishna conscious. So if we had the time, we could go through any aspect of culture and we could see that Srila Prabhupada, he made the greatest contribution. So they honor this person and that person and this person for their, you know, their contribution to one aspect of culture. But Srila Prabhupada, being the ambassador from the spiritual world, he made the most significant contribution ever in the history of mankind in every part of culture. So he should be honored. They should give him repeatedly, year after year after year after year, the Nobel Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize for Science, the Nobel Prize for Literature. They shouldn't give it to these hogs and dogs and camels and asses who are simply barking nonsense. They should continually giving it because Prabhupada's contribution is a living contribution. It's going on year after year. In fact, every year it becomes more important. These people, these Nobel laureates, you know, they're important for 1 year. And then somebody else does something better on the relative plane and they give that person the Nobel laureate. But they should give it to Prabhupada because every year Prabhupada's contribution to literature becomes more significant because the Srimad Bhagavatam has more relevance now than it ever did in our society. It has more relevance now than it ever did because every moment, according to Bhagavatam, with every passing of every second of Kali Yuga, a person's duration of life is decreased, his memory, his intelligence, everything decreases minute by minute in Kali Yuga. So the preaching of Srila Prabhupada becomes much more significant, it becomes much more relevant, it becomes much more important, it becomes much more needed at every moment. So therefore they should honor Srila Prabhupada, you know, every year by giving him the honors of all these noble lords, but they will not do it because they don't have the eyes to see the significance of such a great personality as Srila Prabhupada. And who can imagine who he is? How dear he is to Krishna. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, who are you in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada said, if I told you, you would simply faint. And neither do we think of Prabhupada like that, because we are all his disciples and grand disciples, and Prabhupada has trained us to think of the spiritual master as the spiritual master, as that person who came and picked us up from the mud of material existence and is delivering us, and we are his eternal servants in his mission here within the earthly realm. That is how we become qualified. We meditate upon Prabhupada in that way, and that is how we become qualified to one day assist him by his grace in the spiritual realm. Work now, samadhi later. So Prabhupada actually transplanted the Vedic culture, not even the Vedic culture. Let us say Prabhupada transplanted Goloka Vrindavan to the material world. And this was the hope and aspiration of great religions like Christianity, that God will make heaven on earth. We want heaven on earth. But what took Christianity 2,000 years in attempting to do, Srila Prabhupada has done in 25 years. It took 2,000 years for the Christian message to spread around the world. They didn't change much. They didn't make heaven on earth. Because how can you have heaven on earth when they're slaughtering the sons of Sarabi cows?
How you can have heaven on earth when they're slaughtering the sons of Sarabi cows and poisoning their bodies with intoxication and being fascinated with the opposite sex. No. Prabhupada has actually created, these temples are like embassies of the spiritual world. When you walk into these temples, it's just like walking into Vaikuntha, into Goloka Vrindavan. So by His grace, at least we've begun to make heaven on earth. In fact, Prabhupada said, I have a plan to take over the world. And the devotee said, all right, what's the plan? But Prabhupada said, I have a plan, but you're not ready yet. You're not qualified yet. So it should be the desire, it should be the aspiration, it should be the meditation of every disciple of Śrīla Prabhupāda. Not only every disciple, it should be the meditation of every member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because everyone sits at the feet of Prabhupāda. Prabhupāda means the master at whom feet all masters sit. So it should be the aspiration, the prayer, the intense burning desire of every member of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, both now and in the future, to fulfill the desires of Śrīla Prabhupāda, the ambitions of Śrīla Prabhupāda. He came here, he was Krishna's special ambassador, he planted the seed. Now we have to water that seed and take care of the little creeper that develops, and the little plant as it grows. We have to protect Prabhupāda's movement until it grows into a more sturdy tree and blossoms all over the world, and those blossoms turn into fruits of love of Godhead, which the whole world can pick and they can eat by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Actually, we have inherited this mission of Śrīla Prabhupāda. The entire work of our disciplic succession for the last 5,000 years and the paramount efforts of Śrīla Prabhupāda when he was present amongst us, somehow or other, all of us sitting within this room and all members of ISKCON, we have been entrusted to not only protect the efforts of this great Krishna conscious movement for thousands of years, but to make it grow, to have it expand all over the world. We've been entrusted with the most important mission. Actually, you think about it. The success or the failure of the efforts of so many great Vaishnavas for thousands of years is now within our hands, and we cannot afford to take that lightly. We cannot simply be concerned with our own interests in Krishna consciousness, but we must be concerned with the great desires and great plans of Śrīla Prabhupāda and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and all these great souls to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. We have a great mission ahead of us, and we should be prepared to carry out that mission for many lifetimes. Actually, we should not think that we have the right to go back to Godhead until we have actually accomplished all of Śrīla Prabhupāda's desires. What right do we have? How can we say? How can we go back to Godhead before we've actually successfully served our Guru Maharaj? We don't have the right to say, I am going. No. Our Guru Dev, our spiritual master, has a very intense desire to see the fallen conditioned souls delivered. And until his plan is actually realized, the Gurukuls are functioning all over the world. We have self-sufficient farms. We have temples which can maintain themselves and be successful as bases for where devotees go out and preach Krishna consciousness. Until our deities are worshipped in full glory that they deserve. Until Prabhupada's books are distributed in every house in the world, everyone has a set of Prabhupada's books. Until the politicians are wearing tilak as they go to their offices, to meet their ministers. Until that point, we should feel that we have not successfully served our spiritual master. That is the price that we have to pay for his kripa upon us. His kripa is that he delivered us and we had no qualification. Only his mercy delivered us. And he's taking us back to Godhead. That is no small thing. So we are indebted to him, and we show that gratitude, we show that indebtedness. How? By preaching and making successful his mission of Krishna consciousness. And Śrīla Prabhupāda's mission is very clear. It's no mystery. The farms, the temples, the schools, the book distribution, every member of ISKCON knows what it means. But, we haven't yet begun.
We've had some success, but we have not had full success by any stretch of the imagination. So we really have to have an intense desire, because it's all based on desire. It's all based on desire. There's no material qualification or disqualification for serving Guru. What one needs is an intense desire. We have to have an intense desire to give up sense gratification, an intense desire to please our spiritual master. Those two things we should constantly meditate on. We should have a very intense desire to give up our material desires, which are obstacles to our being able to successfully serve our Guru and Srila Prabhupada. And we should have an intense desire to see that all of Prabhupada's initial plans for Krishna consciousness become realized. This should be our meditation. On this day, on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, we can pray for special kripa. But what kind of kripa do we ask for? Srila Prabhupada, please make me happy in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, please make sure my family is safe. Srila Prabhupada, if you so desire, please make my business successful, I'll give some money. No. What is our prayers to Srila Prabhupada? Simply let us serve you as you desire. You please direct us in how to preach this Krishna consciousness movement so that your plans will be successful in delivering all these fallen conditioned souls. That is our meditation. We don't have to worry about our liberation. We don't have to worry about attaining exalted stages of Krishna consciousness. Let that be up to Guru and Krishna. In fact, that's already done. We're already liberated in the sense that, you know, we're properly situated. If we stick on this path, it's sure and certain that we'll make it back home, back to Godhead. We're finished with this material world. When you come to the International Society of Krishna, and you take your vow, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Those are the pillars of Kali Yuga. Those are the pillars of materialistic life. Those are the pillars of material attachment. Basically what you're saying is, I'm finished with material life. So don't look back. Just look ahead. Let the past sleep and look ahead. And what is ahead? Service to Srila Prabhupada. Establishing ISKCON all over the world. That is how we should think. We don't have to worry about our own liberation. We have only one thought now, how to serve Guru and Krishna. If we've actually made that resolution that I've given up material life, then what business do we have staying in this world? Just like they asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, do you have love for God? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I had love for God, what would I be doing in this material world? That was his humility, of course. So we can think in the same way. What business, now that we understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, what business do we have staying here? What's left for us in this world? What is left for us in this world? Nothing. This world is a place where you come to forget God. So what do we have? What is left for us in this world? Nothing. So therefore, our only business is Krishna's business, is Prabhupada's business, preaching Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, just go back to the spiritual world. But actually, we have to qualify ourselves by preaching. Of course, when Srila Prabhupada was here, it was so easy. Because Srila Prabhupada was the commander-in-chief, paramount. And he controlled, you know, he supervised, he inspired everything that was happening in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I remember one time, it was almost as if Prabhupada knew exactly what we were doing. He sent one letter to Germany, and he mentioned, yes, there is one Sankirtan party of my boys, my disciples, traveling in France, and they have their deities of Gornitai, and they're distributing books like anything, and that was my Sankirtan party. Somehow or other, Prabhupada had heard, I think he heard it through our GBC. We were the only ones in Europe at that time who had Gornitai deities, because it was authorized. And, you know, a GBC man wrote Prabhupada that letter and said that, you know, these young boys are traveling in the east of France and they have Gornitai deities and they're distributing books like anything. So then Prabhupada wrote to the devotees in Germany, and we were near Germany, and the German devotees informed us because they knew about our Sankirtan party. Prabhupada told us about your party. So when I heard that, Prabhupada said, yes, I have my boys, my Sankirtan devotees are traveling with Gornitai deities and preaching, distributing books like anything in France. And I thought, that's amazing, Prabhupada knows what I'm doing. I was thinking Prabhupada was so powerful personality, we felt that he was just directing all of our activities at that time. But then upon Prabhupada's departure, everything became like a void, because we were so young and inexperienced, and we didn't understand the principle of Vani and Vapu. Prabhupada said Vani is actually more important than Vapu, you know, the instruction, because sometimes the physical presence of the spiritual master is there, and sometimes it's not there. Actually, most of the time it's not there. So Prabhupada stressed the Vani, or the instruction. But actually, without having the Vapu, how can you be inspired to do the Vani? Unless you have that Vapu, unless you have that personal association of your spiritual master, where do you get the inspiration, where do you get the determination to follow his instructions? So therefore it's so important. It's so important that we have that personal association with our spiritual master, so that in the infancy of our spiritual life, we have the determination to follow his instructions. So what happened when Prabhupada left in 1977 is we were babies and we were infants, and our father passed away, and it was just a brief moment that he was with us, and we were just lost. We couldn't understand how we could carry on without the Vapu. And Prabhupada said, no, go on with the Vani, but we needed Prabhupada's Vapu. So we had to struggle so much in those days when Prabhupada left to try to realize how we could associate with Śrīla Prabhupāda through his Vāṇī. But having no other recourse, having nothing else to do, we had to take shelter of that Vāṇī and meditate how Prabhupāda was present there. And actually, all of us have discovered that the more we surrender to the Vāṇī, the instructions of the spiritual master, and the more we try to fulfill those instructions, the more successful we are in executing those instructions, is actually a transcendental phenomena that we do feel Śrīla Prabhupāda's presence. This cannot be experienced by any mundaner or materialistic person in a material relationship. It can be experienced on the transcendental realm because the relationship with the spiritual master is eternal. It is a living relationship. It's a transcendental relationship. So just like we gave the example that the spiritual master throws the rope into the well, you have to grab that rope. It's not that, you know, because the guru throws you the rope, it's automatic, you're delivered. You have to take hold of that rope and you have to pull. So what is that pulling? That pulling is following the instructions, cent for cent. And the more you can follow those instructions and the more you can be successful in following those instructions, you're pulling that rope and you're coming closer and closer and closer to your spiritual master. If we want to come close to Śrīla Prabhupāda, if we want to develop intimate relationship with Guru, the intimacy is there in fulfilling his instructions. Just like one time, all the devotees came to Mayapur, and Prabhupada was looking around. He said, where is Tripurari? And the devotee said, Prabhupada, this is the best time of the year for distributing books in America. There's some special festivals, some special fairs, some special program. So Tripurari, he sacrificed his trip to India. He sacrificed his, you know, his trip to come and see you to distribute your books. So at that time, Śrīla Prabhupāda just closed his eyes and he was just nodding his head. He said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And the devotees could understand that actually he was speaking to Tripurari. He wasn't speaking to them, although he wanted us to come to India. He wanted us to go to the Mayapur festival. Because that particular devotee had made the sacrifice to, you know, he made a personal sacrifice to please his guru. He got Guru Kripa. He got the mercy. Prabhupada was a long distance away, 5,000 miles away, but Prabhupada was shaking his head. He was like, it was just like he was injecting his mercy into Tripurari's heart. He was saying, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Do you think that Tripurari didn't get that mercy? Of course he got. They were separated by time and place. But we should know for certain that that devotee, he got the mercy. Because he was sacrificing. He was following the instructions of his spiritual master. So sometimes the physical presence may be there. Most of the time it may not, but we can be very close to our guru and to the Vaishnavas and to the members of our disciplic succession by very intensely giving our body, mind, and words to their mission. We have to think like that. If we want to be close to these personalities, and that is our joy, that is our satisfaction, that is love, We want that is real love. We want to love these personalities. We don't want to love the mundane members of materialistic society, friendship, and love. We want to come close to these persons. We want to be like an Adam at the shelter of their lotus feet. So how to get there? We have to fulfill their instructions. And those instructions are very, very, very clear. We have to preach Krishna consciousness. And the more we can preach and the more people we can bring into the fold of ISKCON, the more satisfaction that gives to the heart of Srila Prabhupada, and we get his mercy. And what is his mercy? Prabhupada said one time, they asked Prabhupada, what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, more Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, what is the result of all the service? And Prabhupada said, more service. And when the gopis came to Krishna and they asked, and then Krishna was so pleased, then he said, how I can reciprocate with your love? Oh, you have to be satisfied with your service to me. That is the best gift that I can give you, is devotional service. So we should not lose this opportunity in this movement. We shouldn't let time pass. It passes very quickly. Life goes by in a flash, in an instant. We should grab this opportunity and give our lives to spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness, to book distribution, to prasadam distribution, to kirtan parties, to festivals, to beautiful temples, through cow protection, through Gurukul. Everyone has a service which they can selflessly dedicate themselves to and push on this movement, and that will be our success. That is how we will judge our success in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada taught us all these things. He gave us this great Krishna conscious movement. He said at one time, you simply maintain what I have given you. Just maintain it. Prabhupada gave us everything. We don't have to add or subtract. He said, you just maintain what I have given you, the deity worship, the standard of cooking, the mode of dress, the preaching. We should be proud to wear Vaishnav tilak. We should be proud of dhotis and saris. We should be proud of our cooking tradition. We should be proud of our deities. We should never minimize anything in any way. That is a danger. Sometimes when the acharya passes away, the things become minimized. We shouldn't minimize anything. At least we should maintain it. At least we should maintain it. Prabhupada said, don't let this Krishna consciousness movement become like Christianity. Water down, compromise, compromise, compromise. He so much emphasized Bhagavad Gita as it is. But our ISKCON movement is actually a manifestation of Bhagavad Gita. It is Bhagavad Gita in its living form. There's the Bhagavad and there's the person Bhagavad. So Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad. He was the person Bhagavad. By his life, he showed us how to live Bhagavad. So that exalted standard we should maintain. We shouldn't let it decrease in any way. We shouldn't add or subtract. That alone can be our success. That we don't water down or compromise in any way, means or matter. Krishna consciousness doesn't become new age. It's old wine in a new bottle. But it shouldn't become new age, you know, new age ideas, new age philosophers, new age science. You know, everything should be kept exactly as it was when Srila Prabhupada was here. Then Krishna consciousness will remain attractive and it will become successful. We can't add or subtract even the smallest detail. Prabhupada told a story. He said once there was a wedding, and at that wedding, a black cat came into the wedding arena, so the mother-in-law, she got upset, so she put it in a pot, you know, just to keep it quiet. She put it in a jar and covered it. So the young girl was getting married. She saw that. So then when she married, and then she had children. And one day, her daughter was going to get married. So her daughter asked her how to perform the marriage ceremony. So she said, you do this, that, and other thing, and you put a black cat in a jar. Because that's what she saw at her wedding. She thought, this is what you do. So then it became, you know, a custom down to the ages in this particular family line that when you get married, you put a black cat in a jar. So in the same way, Prabhupada said, these type of things can enter into Krishna consciousness as well. Even a little thing like chanting or how we take prasadam or how we worship the deity, if we think, oh, this is nice, let me do it like that, that would be speculation. There is a way to do it, a traditional way to do it, a disciplic succession way to do it. We should do it that way and never change it. And then Krishna consciousness can be successful. So our greatest service is to be able to maintain everything as Srila Prabhupada gave it, because everything is perfect, because it's been given, why? By a pure devotee of the Lord. But if we can expand it, that will be to our credit. Because Prabhupada said there's different kinds of disciples. There's the type of disciple who gets the order of the spiritual master and he just rejects it. Then there's the type of disciple who, you know, gets the order of the spiritual master and he grudgingly carries it out. Then there's the type of disciple who gets the order of the spiritual master and he carries it out with great enthusiasm. But the first class disciple is the one who anticipates the order of the spiritual master, and even without being asked, because he knows the philosophy, he knows the desires of his guru, he does that service. So Prabhupada said, at least maintain what I have done. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. So at least we can cooperate and maintain the highest standard of Krishna consciousness. But what's best, if we can act above and beyond the call of duty, and we can do even more. More means we don't change the plan, but more means that more than just maintaining, we continue to expand these programs. We double the book distribution. We increase the quality of the deity worship with love and devotion. We distribute prasadam not only in our own temples, so our own bellies. We distribute prasadam to the people who are, you know, who need it most. Those out there who have no knowledge of Krishna consciousness, perhaps they can't understand philosophy, they can't afford a book, they can get prasadam. We preach on the higher levels of society, to the scientists, to the philosophers, to the politicians. Just like tomorrow we may have the opportunity to meet de Klerk, the next day we may have the opportunity to meet Mandala. We may think, these persons, who are they? They're just politicians, they don't follow regular principles, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, in the eyes of the people, in a relative sense, they're very important. And if we can impress them with Krishna consciousness, then that can spread to the masses. So we have to try, we have to make the effort. So this way we can glorify Srila Prabhupada. We can glorify him by maintaining the tradition, and we can glorify him by expanding the tradition. So this is a day when we have to celebrate his departure. I mean, personally for me, although it is a tradition that this is the day when we, you know, we celebrate most in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, for me this is a difficult day because Prabhupada has departed. We have to carry on. One might question, you know, someone may question, why, after so much glorification, we're celebrating the departure. Generally, when a loved one passes away, then you, and people lament. But we know that there's no death for the soul, and that, especially in the case of a pure devotee, it is Krishna's desire that he comes back home. We could even say that Krishna can no longer bear the separation of such a confidential soul as Srila Prabhupada. That could be the paramount, the ultimate reason that Prabhupada left, because the Lord was calling him. So there, who can lament that? How you can lament that is Krishna's desire, Krishna's order, and that is our desire. So Srila Prabhupada Krishna took Srila Prabhupada back to his Nitya Lila Pravishta. Nitya Lila Pravishta means his eternal service in a spiritual world. But we can always be with Srila Prabhupada, even though there is distance there, by constantly serving his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the karmis, they lament when a great soul passes away. Obviously, because the future, or rather, they lament when one of their loved ones passes away, because their destination, who God knows what it is, a sinful life. But a devotee goes to Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ya idam hanamam guyam mad bhaktash babidashanti. He says, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. At the end, he will come back to me. But this verse perfectly, the perfect example of that verse is Srila Prabhupada, no doubt. For one who explains this supreme science, the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end, he will come to me. So that is our joy on this day. This day is actually like bittersweet, like you have those sabjis, you know, sweet and sour. I think it's cheese and cauliflower and peas, and they put pineapple in there. and it makes it a little bitter, but actually it's relishable. You can mix that. It's a type of relish. It's called sweet and sour sabji. Somehow or other, it's relishable. So similarly, this day is sweet and sour. It's sweet because we know that Srila Prabhupada has rejoined his beloved Lord in the spiritual world. But the sourness, the bitterness is there in that we no longer have Prabhupada's association. But again, Srila Prabhupada said about his own Guru Maharaj at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he lives forever by his divine instructions and his follower lives with him. Meaning if we follow those instructions, we can have that association. So it's described that the pure devotees of the Lord, they take the transcendental boat of Krishna consciousness across the ocean of material existence. But their mercy is, their miracle is, that they leave that boat on this side. And we simply have to get in and row. And what is that rowing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And by sincerely rowing and getting as many passengers in that boat, because you're rowing in the ocean of material existence, and what is that ocean of material existence? People are drowning in that ocean of material existence. So don't just row and ignore people. No. You know, if you're saved and others are drowning around you, what kind of person are you not to pull them into the boat? So vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripasindu vaibhacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaha. We have to have that compassion. If we don't have it, at least on the instructions of Prabhupada, we have to exhibit it. And we have to pull people in with us into the boat and roll across this ocean. Get everybody chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So that when we get to the other side of the ocean of material existence, at the end of our lifetime, we should find ourselves at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. That will be our success. If at the end of this lifetime, we can find ourselves at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, we will know. If we can just see those two shining lotus feet at the end of our life, we will know, I made it. We'll know that we've made it. And Prabhupada actually said, I told the devotees the other day, the Sangatan devotees, Prabhupada said in a lecture in Bombay in 1974, my god sister Rachitambara was there, she's always reminding me. Prabhupada said that when we turn back to Godhead, Prabhupada said, I will personally be there at the entrance of the spiritual world to greet you. He's talking about the members of ISKCON. He said this in public, I will personally be there at the gates of the spiritual world to greet you, and I will personally introduce you to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is a formidable captain of the ship of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, which is a big boat. It's not a little rowboat. It's a big boat. It can include the entire world if we want. And we can happily row ourselves back home to Godhead and achieve Srila Prabhupada at the end of our lives. That will be, and if we achieve Srila Prabhupada, then surely we will be